Ephesians chapter 6. Tonight we're going to be looking at verse number 16. Ephesians 6, verse number 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I know, let's just kind of review what we've looked at so far. Back in verse number 10, he starts out and he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." That's the source. That's the base of our thing. And then he says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So we're to put on the panoply, the whole armor of God. Then verse number 12, he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's the devil in all different aspects of his attacks against us. And then verse 13, he tells us again, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So again, we're to put on the armor. So he emphasizes it twice here that we're to put on the armor. And then he starts the armor in verse 14 when he says, "Stand therefore," and then he gives us three ways we're to stand. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." So those are the first three pieces of armor we looked at so far, is the belt of truth, and we're to just take on God's truth that he gives us, and we need to claim the truth. Don't believe the lies of the devil. We need to believe the truth from God, because many times the devil gets us down by getting us to believe the untruths or the what ifs. I was talking to somebody just this week, and they were worried and struggled and having problems, and it was all about a what if. What if this happens? What if this happens? And I'm really worried. What if this happens? I said, "Listen, don't worry about the what ifs. We need to focus on reality." And the devil wants us to focus on the what ifs, and God says, "No, you need to put on the truth." So we need to belt on the truth, and then the breastplate of righteousness, claim that righteousness that Christ gave us. He made us right with him when we got saved, and he will keep us right with him as we stay close to him on a day-to-day basis. So if you stay close to God, you can stay right with God and wear that shield of righteousness. So when the devil comes and says, "You know, you are a wicked sinner. God doesn't love you." And you say, "Wait a minute, God does. I'm righteous before him, not because I'm a good person, but because he's made me righteous. And I can stay right with God by staying close to God. So, devil, you're lying to me, and I'm not going to believe that." Because a lot of the times that the devil gets us down, it's because he gets us to think wrong. He gets us to think the things that are not true. And so we need to put on the belt of truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, and put on the shoes of peace. That peace that passes understanding, God says he'll give it to us if we'll give our burdens to him. So let's give our troubles to God, take his peace, and claim that peace, and rest in that peace. And just say, "I'm going to rest in God. I'm not going to worry and fret about all the what ifs and all the problems in life. I'm going to give it to God, and work, and he's going to take care of it." So he says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Then he says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And that's where we're at here tonight. You know, a shield. What is a shield? Well, a shield is a thin, hard substance that keeps unwanted things from coming at us. All right? There's probably a lot of ways we could define that. But, for example, one thing that is a shield is the windscreen in your car. If you didn't have a windscreen in your car, what would happen when you're driving down the road at 100 kilometers an hour? And some big fat bug comes flying right at you and whacks you in the face. I mean, that bug going 100 kilometers an hour is going to hurt pretty bad when it hits your face. And it's going to make a mess when it splatters all over you, too. But the windscreen protects us from that. It protects us from the wind so you don't burn your eyes. It protects us from the rain so you don't get rain on you when it's raining. So the windscreen's there as a shield for us. We find also something like a raincoat is a shield. Different kind of a shield, but it's a shield. If it's a plastic type of a raincoat or rubber type of a raincoat, it keeps all the water off you. Pouring down rain, you stay dry on the inside because it's shielding you. Also, some men, when they go to work, they wear safety glasses. Why do they wear that? Well, those safety glasses are a shield for their eyes to protect them so that they don't get things flying into their eyes and damage their eyes. So they're a shield. So shields are that which protects us. You know, Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 5 says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." God says his word is pure and he is a shield to us if we'll put our trust in him. So God wants to be our shield. And that's what we're really talking about here tonight, is God being our shield. And he talks about putting on the shield of faith. And so we're going to answer those same three questions we've looked at the other armor. The first question is, of what significance was the soldier's shield? We really need to know a little bit about the soldier's shield in order to understand the comparison. All right? The shield was the largest of all of the soldier's armor. It is said that the shield many times was about 1.4 meters high and about 0.8 meters wide. So it was pretty good size. Big enough that the soldier could duck down and hide completely behind the shield and protect himself from the enemy's arrows and darts and spears. And so it was often made of wood, a wooden frame that was covered with either leather or sometimes with a thin metal. Couldn't be too heavy because he had to carry it around with him, so he had to be careful about that. But it was made of often leather. They would stretch the leather across it. Sometimes they may have stretched other things across it, but sometimes even one article seemed to indicate that they may have even stretched rawhide over it. You know, raw skins of an animal. You pull a skin over an animal when it's raw. When it dries, it gets very brittle and hard. And perhaps that's what they did to make some of their shields. But the shield was something that would resist the darts and arrows that would come at them. And then the shields also were often designed to not only deflect the arrows and spears, but also to stop flaming fire that would come at them. Sometimes in battle, the enemy would take and dip their arrows or darts in tar and set it on fire, or some other flammable substance, set it on fire and then shoot it at the enemy. And you can imagine what would happen if you're there in camp and you're fighting against the enemy, and all of a sudden the grass around you starts burning and your armor starts on fire. You've got, you know, they shoot the dart and it sticks into your shield, and then all of a sudden your shield's starting to burn. And they go, what am I going to do now? You know, my shield's burning. That's going to protect me. So they would make the shields, sometimes they would dip the shields in water. You know, if the enemy was shooting fiery darts at them, they would dip the shield in water to make it wet so that it would help to put out the fire when it comes. But there was various things like that. But God here talks about the fiery darts of the wicked. And so that was something that they dealt with there in their real battle times in the Roman soldiers' armor. Now, how does God then apply the shield then to our spiritual armor? How does he apply that? Well, he says that we are, again, in verse number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. He calls faith our shield. Faith. And as we think about faith, remember, the armor here is God's armor. It's not my armor. It's God's armor. So this is what God said will protect me. God said, faith in me will protect you from the enemy. And so we need to have faith in God, faith in the faithful one to be able to protect us. It's not my faith that is protecting me in some way that I'm doing something that's going to protect me, but it is my putting my trust in the faithful one who will protect me and keep me. And the same in each of your lives as well. We need to trust in the faithful one. Now, back in verse number 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in what? In the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It is God that is the strong one. It is God that is able to defeat the devil. It is God that is able to give me victory over temptation. It is God that is able to keep me from saying things I shouldn't say and doing things I shouldn't do and thinking things I shouldn't think. It is God that is able to do that. So He is the strong one that we are to trust in. And so He says we are to have faith in God who can give us the victory over these temptations that come our way. Now, faith is acting upon trusted information. I want you to get that definition down. If someone asks you, what is faith? Faith is acting upon trusted information. All right? You take this chair, and the reason you can sit in one of these chairs is because of trusted information. You say, well, it looks like a chair. It's just like all the other chairs. Other people are sitting in them. I've sat in them before. And so the trusted information is, as far as I know, this is a strong chair. It looks fine. And I trust the information, so I will sit in it. Sitting in it is an act of faith based on what you know about that chair. Now, so faith is acting upon trusted information. Now, faith is not a leap in the dark. You know, some people think, well, faith is just a, you know, kind of a leap in the dark. And just trust God. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to do it anyway, you know, because I believe God will protect me. Well, you know, that would be silly, you know, for someone to say, well, I'm up on this, you know, way up in the tree, the top of the tree, and I believe God's going to protect me. I'll just jump out. Well, that's not wise. That's foolish. And that's kind of, remember what Satan said to Jesus? He told Jesus, he took him up on the pinnacle of the temple and said, you know, jump off. God will protect you. And Jesus quoted the scriptures and said, you're not to tempt the Lord your God. But the idea here is that's not faith. Faith is not just a leap in the dark or just being silly. It's not acting irrationally based on hope. You know, just I think it'll happen, so I'm going to hope in this. Or that's not faith. Faith is not acting upon a gut feeling where I just, you know, why are you doing that? Well, just faith. You know, I just kind of feel it deep down inside. You know, that's not faith. Faith is not sincerely wishing something. You know, some people really sincerely wish the things and they say, well, I just believe it's going to happen. I just, why? Well, I just kind of feel it down inside. I believe real hard. You know, you really believe and you'll get what you want. That's not faith. That's not faith. Faith is not fate. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, just whatever's going to be, it's going to be. Well, that's not faith either. Faith is acting upon trusted information. Now, you need to know the trusted information in order to put your faith in it. When we get saved, what is the trusted information that we are putting our faith in for salvation? Well, it's the information that Jesus died and was buried and rose again to pay for my sin. And I believe that because I believe God is who He said He is, and I believe Jesus is who He said He was, and I believe that He did that for me, and my faith then is putting my trust in Him. It is taking my life and just saying, all right, here's my life. I'm going to place it in the hands of the Lord Jesus because He said that if I gave Him my life, that He would save my soul and give me eternal life. So faith is acting upon trusted information. And so it is with facing temptation. We need to trust God's unlimited power. Back in verse number 10, He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So we need to say, God is able to help me. He is able to give me victory. He is able to strengthen me, and I'm going to put my trust in Him because He said He would. You know, in order to do that, we need to have some confidence then in the Bible. And the more confidence we have in the Bible and the more confidence we have in God, the greater our faith can be. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment, but that's a very important truth for us to understand. Trusting the trusted information then is based on the person, the power, and the promises of God. Our trusted information must be based on the person, the power, and the promises of God. The person of God. Who is God? God is the sovereign King of the universe. He is the creator of all things. He is, you know, one of those things that really helps me when Satan tries to throw doubts at me. One of my favorite things to do is to start quoting verses about creation. I mean, just start quoting verses. And that's why I memorize those verses on creation, because they help me. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Psalm 119:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Psalm 102:25, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Jeremiah 32:17, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast created the heaven and earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there's nothing too hard for me, thee. Isaiah 45:12, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. Now, why do I work on those verses? Here's why. Because when Satan starts saying, you know, well, you know, what if you're mistaken? What if the world's right and God doesn't exist? And I think, no, wait a minute. All that's out there, you just take a look out in the heavens, you say, that didn't happen by accident. That didn't happen by accident. You look at the little flower, and say, that's no accident of nature. That's no explosion. That is something made by a marvelous designer. And it just helps to increase our faith. So our faith is in the person of God. Our faith is also in the power of God, knowing what He has done and what He can do and what He says He will do, and know about the power of God. And you learn that from the Word of God again. And then also about the promises of God, the things He promises to do, the things that He says, this will I do if you do this. And so all of those things can give us faith. So we place our faith in the person, the power, and the promises of God. And the action then is actually hiding behind Him and trusting Him to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. When Satan starts throwing his darts at us, we need to run and hide behind the Lord in faith and say, Lord, You promised that you'll do this. And Satan's trying to get me to think bad about that. You promised, God, that you'd take care of me. And the devil's trying to make me think that you're not going to take care of me. And Lord, you promised that if I cast my burden on you, you'll carry my burden for me. And the devil's trying to get me to doubt that. And whatever the situation is, memorize verses about the temptations that Satan attacks you with, and then quote them and run and hide behind the Lord and say, Lord, you said, that's what you said, so please protect me, Lord. And hide behind the promises of God. So the person, the power, and the promises of God are that which we place our faith in, and the faith is acting upon that by hiding ourselves in the power of God. Now notice how the verse starts. Those first two words, above all, above all. You know, in English, that would make it sound like he's saying, now this is the most important of all the things, more important than all your other armors. But that's not what the word actually means. It literally means overall. It's the idea of this is something that the faith is that which binds it all together. It's the thing that which holds it all together. We have faith in God that His truth will protect us. We have faith in God that His breastplate of righteousness will keep us from harm. We have faith in God that His peace will keep us from worry and fretting. We have faith in God, and so overall, it's the idea of it's over all of these things, based on this is the foundation or basis for our protection. And like a shield, faith in God will deflect the darts of the devil. The devil starts throwing those darts at you, those fiery darts that try to get you to fall, and he's faith in God will help us. It is God that will be our help and stay. Now, faith will quench these fiery darts of the wicked. Notice there at the end of the verse, he says that we should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The little phrase, the wicked, it literally refers to the evil one or the wicked one. It's talking about the devil. Alright, and all of his demons and all those that are against us. There are millions of demons out there and the devil trying to get us down, trying to defeat us and to get us to stop serving God and stop being victorious. And we saw there a little bit of their activity in verse number 12 when it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Alright, so we're not in a physical combat with them. It's a spiritual combat. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We saw how that they were supreme, they were powerful, they were worldwide, they're all around us. And the demons and the devil are after us, but God is greater than them, and He can give us the victory. He will quench. The word quench there. Quench means to extinguish, to put out the fire. He will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And so, faith in the person, power, and promises of God will extinguish the darts that the devil throws at us. I'd like to suggest three darts that the devil throws at us often. One is the dart of doubt. Doubt. I don't know whether God really means that or not, or will God really keep me from this problem, or can He really help me in that situation, or will God... And we start doubting God. We doubt whether He will meet our needs, and we doubt whether He loves us or whether He cares about us, whether He's going to be good to us, whether He's going to keep His promises. We doubt. And the devil loves to get us to doubt. And so he throws those darts of doubt at us. Another dart that he throws at us is discouragement. Discouragement. You know, he tries to get us defeated, to get us down, to get us feeling like all is falling apart. God's not going to help me, and this is just really bad. And we get down and discouraged and defeated. And when we get to that point where we start feeling oppressed, what happens? You know, it just seems like everything is negative. Nothing's going good. I feel lousy. The whole world's lousy. Everything's bad. And we feel down and discouraged. At those times, it's difficult. What we need to do is we need to run to the Lord. We need to run to the Lord and say, Lord, you got to help me. I'm feeling down. I'm feeling discouraged. I need your encouragement. And spend some time reading encouraging verses in the Bible, looking to the promises of God, thinking about the good things He's done for us, and depending upon the Lord. So the doubts of discouragement will try to get us down. And He'll try to tell us that witnessing to people is a waste of time. And He'll try to tell us that, you know, serving the Lord is of no value. There's no future to that. You're wasting your time. What a foolish thing to do. And all those are discouraging thoughts. But God tells us, no, we need to trust in Him. So there's the dart of doubt, the dart of discouragement, but also the dart of wrong desires. Wrong desires. You know, we have those wrong desires. Remember we studied over there in 1 John chapter 2 about where he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. He says, don't love the world. But yet there's those desires in us. That's why Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He says there's desires. You know, he calls them youthful desires, not because only youth have a problem with them, but because youth, it starts in our youth, doesn't it? You know, I used to think when I was a young man, I used to think, boy, I can't wait to get a little older so I get rid of some of these wrong desires that I have. You know, if I get married, it'll take care of a lot of those wrong desires. And if I get a little older, I won't have all... Doesn't change anything. You young people, sorry to tell you the bad news, but those bad desires are going to stick with you the rest of your life because it's part of the human nature. We struggle with bad desires. And so we need to fight them off. And the devil tries to come at us and throw those darts of lust and desires for evil things and desires for pleasure and desires for popularity and desires for success and desire for getting ahead in life. And all these things that the devil throws at us to try to get us off track. And we need to remember, at those times, we need to run to the Lord and we need to depend upon His power and His might to strengthen us and help us during those difficult times. Now, he says there that his faith will quench how much of the darts of the wicked? What's that little word there in 16? What's it say there? Ye shall be able to quench what? All the darts of the wicked. All of them. So there's nothing the devil can do to you or me to defeat us and discourage us if we will put our faith in the Lord. We need to have faith in the Lord. All right. I got to take your blanket away from you, buddy. Okay. All right. Time to wake up now. All right. You're going to get too comfy there and you're just going to fall right to sleep and fall over on that chair and just like Eutychus, fall out the window and break your neck. And we don't want that to happen. All right. So how do we take the shield of faith? How do we do that? How do we do that? All right. Let's just see. Here's some ideas. Faith in God is gained by knowing the Word of God. It's by knowing the Word of God. Faith in God is by knowing the Word of God. Now, we see a very important verse about this in Romans 10, verse 17. He says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, how can I have more faith? Spend more time in the Word of God. Spend more time in the Word of God. Now, as we think about this, faith comes by hearing about the person of God. About the person of God. The more you learn about God Himself, that's why I love watching creation videos. I love watching things that are displaying the wonders of God and the marvelousness about God and reading books that show how God met needs in people's lives. That's why it's important to read good, godly Christian novels. Or not novels, but more biographies that about people that have served God. And I've got several. If you'd like to read some, you're welcome to. Some of you have read some of mine already. But read those about how God met somebody else's need, how God provided for them during these difficult times. And that builds faith in our hearts. When we see how God provided for someone else, we can see how God can do it for us. And so we learn about God's personal greatness and His person. And then also, faith increases by getting to know God's character. Getting to know His character. What is God like? Spend quality time with God in the Bible. You know, every day, we need to be in the Bible. We need to. Because it's our food. It's our strength. Psalm 73, verse 28 says, it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all His works. Psalmist said there, it is good for me to be drawn near to God. And you know that is true of every one of us. It is good for you, it is good for me to draw near to God. And we do that by getting close to God. You know, it's just like any relationship. You try to build a relationship with someone, whether it's your child, or it's a friend, or it's a neighbor, or a spouse-to-be, or whatever those kind of situations may be. The way to build a relationship is by spending time together. You know, that old saying, the absence makes the heart grow fonder. I'm not so sure that's really true. You know, a lot of times absence makes you forget. All right? And so spending time is something very, very important. We need to spend quality time with God. And then also, learn to fear the Lord's power and His dependability. Psalm 115, verse 11 says, "Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." He says, fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Learn to fear God. Now remember, fearing God is not trembling and shaking when you hear His name, but it is respecting Him, honoring Him, and recognizing Him as who He is. Placing Him on an important pedestal in your life. You know, sometimes Christians say, well, I fear the Lord, but they don't spend time with the Lord. They don't put God first in their life. They don't go to church faithfully. They don't do the things that God asks them to do. Something's wrong. Something's missing. There's no fear there in a reality. And so we need to fear God. Now, we need to then take up the shield of faith by trusting in God's protection. Put it on. Take hold of it. We must have complete confidence in God's promises and His power. You know, if you don't have confidence in God, you're not going to trust Him. You're not going to come to Him in faith if you don't have confidence in Him. You know, you stop and think about that. When we get sick, let's say we get sick, and you say, well, you know, I don't know what to do. You know, I get sick and I tried this, I tried that, and nothing ever works, so I guess I'll just do nothing. Well, that's not going to solve the problem. You know, if you start getting a cold, one of the first things happened when I got back from America is it was cold here. We were used to summer over there, and it was cold here, and immediately I started feeling this burning in my throat and thinking, oh, no, here comes the cold again. So I got out all the ammunition. I started taking lemon and garlic and vitamin C and you know, every hour or two, you know, I'd be taking all the stuff and pumping it in. And I'm thankful it took care of it. I didn't get a bad cold like I was anticipating that could happen. But why? Because I trusted those things. That's what I did. Because I found before that they helped me, I'll do it again. And so the things that you find will help, you do it. So in a spiritual life, when you see God meet a need once, He'll do it again. And you can have confidence in that. And so you can run back to that and say, I got confidence in God because I see what He's done in my life. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Yea, nay, all in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He says we can be more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. And He can give us great victory. One of the verses that, if you have not already memorized, I beg you to memorize it. You will never regret memorizing this verse. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't know how many times I've used that verse in my own life to defeat the devil. Because the devil starts coming and attacking me or making me feel like I have a habit I can't break, or an addiction that I can't get rid of, or a thought pattern I can't break, and I need to remind myself, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. The one in me is God Himself. The one in the world is just a created devil. He's just an angel that fell from heaven. But the one in me is God. And you hang on that. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You can have victory and have faith in it and say, I am going to trust God. I am going to depend upon God because I know that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I can have victory. I can have victory. And so people, you know, that if you're struggling with a temptation, you're struggling with something, you just can't seem to get habits broken, or whatever it is in your life, you need to remind yourself, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I can have victory. Also, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4 says, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So faith in God will give us victory over the world. We've got to depend upon God. God is stronger, He is more powerful, and He says, depend upon me and I'll give you the victory. So we have place our confidence in God. And by putting that confidence in God is the action. Remember, faith is acting upon trusted information. So acting upon it. I've got a temptation and I've got to face it by faith in God. God, I believe you will help me in this situation. I believe that you'll give me victory over that situation. I believe that you will give me strength in that. You know, sometimes we can't just cry out to God for help. We need to put some things in action as well. You know, one of the things I struggle with is my mouth. Saying things I shouldn't say, or saying things in a way I shouldn't say it. That's what usually gets me in trouble. And raising my voice or saying something a bit in a sharp voice instead of tenderly and kindly. And A few weeks ago, someone said to me, one of my boys said, "Dad, you don't need to raise your voice." And it was like the Spirit of God just stabbed me. He says, "You're right, I don't." And God reminded me, I need to just keep on working on that verse there in Proverbs 15:1. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." God is able to give us victory, but we can't just say, "Well, God, you just do a miracle in my life and in my life and just take all those things away from me." No, He's not going to do that, but He'll give us strength that we'll depend on Him. And so we need to go back to the Scripture again, find the Scriptures that can help you, depend upon them, claim those as God's promises. And to do this, we need to have that flourishing relationship with God. We've talked about that multitudes of times, but it is so important. Another section of Scripture that talks about that flourishing relationship is Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 4 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." God says, if we are under the shadow of His protection, He'll meet our needs. But we can't be there unless we have a flourishing relationship with God. We have that close relationship with, and then trust God fully. We all are very familiar with, maybe you've memorized Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." We need to trust in the Lord. So when the temptations come, trust God for victory. Run to Him for victory. And then James 4, 7. "Submit yourselves therefore to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So submit to God. Resist the devil. Put up a fight and trust God and depend upon the Lord and let the Lord help you. Another very, very important verse to memorize, but one that scares people because it's kind of long, is 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There is no temptation taken you." No temptation taken you. "But that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." What is God promising? He says there's no temptation that I'll face or you'll face that other people have not already faced. Nothing new under the sun. All right? So the temptation I'm facing is nothing new. And He says God will always give me a way of escape. There's always going to be an exit door. Always. Always. Sometimes I walk right past it and said, "God, I didn't see any exit. You've got to help me. I didn't see any exit." And God said, "You already passed it. It's back there. I gave you an exit. And you didn't take it." You know, we can never blame God and say, "God, you're just not fair. You were so unkind to me. You let me go through all those terrible temptations. There's just no way I could avoid it." No, there is always a way. God promises. And so that is a verse you can claim. When the devil comes on you and said, "Come on, go ahead and do it. There's just no way you can avoid it now. Everybody else is doing it. You know, you just can't. It's too hard." No, you need to remind the devil, "No, there is an exit door. God promises there's an exit door. I don't have to yield to that temptation. I can escape it. I can run." And always what happens when we fall into temptation is because we walk right past the exit and we do what we want to do anyway. And so God promises, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now, we need to ask ourselves some questions. Have you put on the shield of faith this week? Been carrying that shield of faith? Have you been depending on God's shield of faith to protect you? And when the devil comes and shoots his arrows at you, have you hidden behind the shield and said, "God, you got to help me. The devil's after me again. Protect me. Keep me strong. Help me to depend upon you." And start quoting verses and depending upon the Lord. Have you been doing that, or has the devil been taking advantage of you? You know, he's shooting his darts of doubt and discouragement and desire at you to get you to do things that are wrong. You know, there's nothing evil about temptation, but there is something evil about yielding to temptation. We all face temptation. That's part of life. But yielding to temptation is not what God wants. We don't have to. We can have victory, but we got to depend upon God. It's not in our own strength. And it's just like in the physical realm, you don't get over temptations because you're getting older. And so it is in the spiritual realm. You're always going to have temptation. You're always going to struggle. But the more we depend upon God, the stronger we can get. And we don't have to yield to those things that you shouldn't be still yielding to the same problems that you were yielding to 2 years ago. You ought to be able to get some victory. We ought to be able to have some conquering some of these things and making some headway in there if we're depending upon the Lord. So we need to carry that shield of faith and depend upon the Lord. And if Satan shoots those darts at you this week, You just need to get on your knees before the Lord and say, God, you got to help me. Got to help me. I need to depend upon you. And if you've not been doing that, the best thing to do is right now in your own heart or as soon as you get home tonight, you need to just get on your knees before God and say, God, would you please forgive me? I've not been dependent upon you this week. I've not been yielding to you. I've not been trusting you and depending upon your shield of faith to protect me. And I've yielded to doubt and discouragement and the desires of the flesh. And I need your forgiveness and seek his cleansing. That's what God wants. We can have victory. God wants us to have victory. Let's put on the panoply of God.